Morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name. I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. There is absolutely no place I'd rather be than right here with you all doing exactly what I just mentioned. And I just can't even start without saying thank you so much to our amazing worship team for what they do week in and week out using their gifts. They're phenomenal. And we're not honoring the people by clapping. We're honoring the gift that God placed within each and every one of them. And you may not know this, but Bridge City Church is one church in four locations. And there are three other worship teams right now that are doing the exact same thing that you just experienced here at the White Oak campus. The Lord has really blessed us with amazing, amazingly gifted people. And I'm just so blessed to be able to be a part of what God's doing here. And I'm so happy you decided to jump in and spend your Sunday morning here with us as well. You know, we're continuing our series today entitled The Master Plan. And it's all in regards to this book, The Master Plan of Evangelism. And this book has changed so many people's lives within this church. It's, you know, 3.5 million copies sold so far and counting, and it'll continue to change people's lives because of the way that the author, Robert Coleman, so eloquently and simply describes Jesus's plan. And we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to unpack it a little bit. But before we do, we're going to kick off our time with the Great Commission. Every single week, we've been using these verses, and we've been talking about them. And you may be wondering, how in the world are they going to pull something new out of this? And we're on like multiple weeks of it. Well, here we go. We're going to do it. Jesus came and told his disciples. Who did he tell? All right, here. Some of you, you've never been here before. And I'm just going to give you some ground rules. Okay, I love audience participation. Okay, you guys are the audience, so you get to participate. If I ask a question, I like an answer. Okay, let's practice. Say yes.
Yes.
Say no.
No.
Here we go. Jesus came and he told his
disciples.
You guys are doing great. See, we're just getting started. I have been given all authority. How much authority?
All.
Look at that. Not a little bit. Not just a side of it. All of it. All authority in heaven and on. Where are we at? In White Oak. Okay. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. We get to celebrate baptisms today. We celebrated one during the first worship experience. We get to celebrate four during our second worship experience. It's amazing. I love it. It never gets old. Seeing people take their next step and outwardly show what God has done on the inside of their lives and in their hearts. We get to celebrate that today. You all are a part of that. Now, you may be thinking, how in the world am I a part of the Great Commission? I'm just hearing this for the first time, or I'm not walking it out. I'm not making disciples. I am not someone who's doing that. You're going to be. Stick around, okay? We'll make sure you jump in on that. But you're a part by just walking in here today. You're a part because you made this the nations. You're like, we're in White Oak. Allegheny County. I said it that way so some of you could understand our location. But listen, you made this the nations when you walked in. Look around. There are so many different nationalities represented in this room. There's so many different walks of life. There's so many different backgrounds represented in this room. The nations are represented. Different ethnic groups, different cultures that are now being made by God to make one culture, pulling in one direction. I say One Direction, I just automatically think of the band. Like I just instantly want to sing a One Direction song. It's just who I am. It's who I am. Don't tempt me, Patrick. I'll start singing. Okay, but listen. We are one culture pulling in one direction for one glorious hope for the future. Being united so that we can fulfill Jesus' plan, his purpose. Now you may think, man, God feels really far away. God feels really far away. I know God loves people, but I'm not sure if he loves me. Or you may think, I know he loves me, but I don't feel close to him. You know, I had to get beyond that. We relate to God as we relate to our natural father. I knew my dad loved me, but he wasn't present. He lived in the mill. He wasn't at my stuff, but I knew he loved me. So I related to God that way when I first met Jesus. I know he loves me. I know he loves everybody else, but is he really there? If you feel far away from God, go back to these verses. Start going into your world. Start getting around some people that are making disciples. Get baptized or get around somebody that just got baptized. Yes. You'll feel close to God. I'm telling you. I guarantee it. I wish the Men's Warehouse commercials were still the same because that statement just rang so much truer. Like, it just hit. The people being baptized today, they're fully identifying with Jesus. They're taking that step forward. We get to celebrate that. We get to be a part of the Great Commission today, not just being a representation of the nations, but seeing people take that next step and identifying with him. You know, we're going to unpack two of the ways that Jesus fulfilled his master plan today. Jesus's plan was accomplished by us as his disciples and followers being under supervision, which is good. We needed that. We need that. And us being people that will multiply. Multiplication is great. I'll get to talking more about math later. But let's talk about supervision first and foremost. Luke 10, verse 17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. I could just imagine like the disciples coming back to Jesus and they're like, listen, Lord, it worked. It worked. You told us to do this and it worked. And they're probably like, waiting for Jesus to say, nah. And Jesus is like, yeah, I know. Remember the whole all authority thing? All means all. But the disciples were so excited. It's just like me. Whenever I take the garbage out and I come back into the house, I'm like, hey, babe, I took the garbage out. And I just wait for her to give me excitement on how joyful that makes her. Jesus is excited when we report back to him and tell him, listen, what you told me to do in your word, it works. And I'm going to go do it again. Jesus gets joy from that. Let's go forward in Luke 10. Here we go. At the same time, Jesus was filled with joy. What was he filled with? Joy of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth. Thank you for hiding these things from those who think of themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. When they reported back, it gave Jesus great joy. It gave Jesus great joy to see the fact that the disciples were taking what they were trained to do and walking in it. They took him at his word. Do this and watch what happens. Do this and watch what happens. Jesus had a plan. He had a strategy, and it was to supervise them with the intent to release them. I don't know about you, but whenever I have to report back to somebody, I'm more inept to do it. And sometimes I'm really excited to do it because I can't wait to give them a report. When Rachel asks me to do something, and then she follows up if I did it, if I didn't do it, I do it. But if she asks me to do something, I want to do it. Because I love to serve. I love to do that. Let me break it down this way. If you go to the gym with somebody, you're more likely to go to the gym. Why? Because accountability works. If somebody's waiting for you, you're not going to hit snooze over and over and over again. I used to have a friend. He was a part of Bridge City Church. He was the connection group leader that trained me to be a connection group leader. We used to go to the gym. He used to be outside of my house at 5:45 a.m. We used to go to Bally's in Penn Hills. That's how long ago this was. And Bally's was still nice. And I went with him because he got me in for free, because he had that type of membership. And we would go. 5:45 a.m., he would pick me up. Now, there were days where he was sitting outside of my house waiting, and there were days that I was sitting outside of my house waiting for him. But no matter what, we held each other accountable. Whenever we get the opportunity to report back, it almost forces us to do it. Whenever you're doing a devotional plan with somebody or a reading plan with somebody, you're more likely to complete it. Whenever your connection group, whenever you go from just being a regular attender to being a contributor, they know you're coming and they know when you're missing. I don't know about you, but how many of you would like to make Jesus joyful? I want to bring joy to him. There's four of you in here that want to do that. I'm so excited. Listen, we could change the world with four. Let's do it. Everybody else, just hang out here. Five of us are leaving. We're going to go change the world. Jesus had a plan. And this principle of supervision, it calls the disciples, it calls us as followers to accountability. Follow through. The goal of Jesus' plan was to release them and us, not to control them and us. To train and release delegated power so that others' lives could be impacted by the teaching and the training and by his word. Here's a quote from the book. After the disciples were sent out to work, they were expected to share their experiences later with the group. I wonder where we got the idea for small groups, for connection groups. They did the same thing. Hey, listen, we're going to have connection group, and then you're going to come back a week later, and your connection group leader is probably going to ask, how'd your week go? Anything you'd like to share? It's the same thing. Go into your world and then come back and give a report. Some reports are great. Some reports are rough. Some reports are, hey, I really need you guys as a group right now. Some reports are, listen, my week was kind of eh. But you, no matter what, it's the same thing that Jesus did. We get to do it now. The plan worked. Jesus had one objective. That they would share and explain to the disciples. He ministered and he then expected them to minister. He would send them out and they would return. And he always took the opportunity to teach them. But there were times when Jesus would rebuke them and correct them if they failed. Not if they failed to do something specific, but if they failed to walk in faith. If they failed to trust. We see that in Luke 9, 51 through 56. Just walk in faith. Just trust him. Trust his word. Trust his promises. Walk in faith. Listen, the disciples needed supervision. They needed training. They needed follow-up. They needed continual education. They needed on-the-job training. Now, it's such a blessing. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to help others. To lead us and to help others. So that we can see others trained, see others equipped, see others challenged. And that we can follow up. You know, we're so blessed to have our Bridge City Kids volunteers and everybody that's serving upstairs with the kids and over to my right. And they're training up kids. They're not just babysitting kids. They're training them in the ways of the Lord. There's a goal for our kids, and I'll tell you what it is. It's really simple. We pray it. We've continued to pray it. We will not stop praying it, that we will not lose one child to the world. That's the prayer. That will always be the prayer. Listen, you may think that, man, he really pushes this connection group thing because it's important. My life was changed because I sat in a room with a group of men. This is a big family reunion. The people on the left don't know the people on the right exist, and everybody looks at the people in the middle funny. You guys are looking at me like, oh, they look at us funny? Yeah, Chuck. They're looking at you funny. This is a spot where you can't talk to everybody. You can't get to know everybody. This isn't a small church. We want you to get into a small group so that you can be known, so that you can move forward. That's how I learned about marriage and finances and parenting. That's how I learned to be a godly man. And then I took it a step further from connection group. I started meeting with guys one-on-one. And I still do it today. Had a great time sitting across the table from Pastor Rob Benedetti this week at Luciano's. I loved sitting with him. He loved Luciano's. He still raves about it. The eggplant parmesan is the best kept secret in town. I mean, seriously, you get soup, bread, and an amazing lunch, side of pasta. How much, Rob? $9.50. But you also get to have exactly what Jesus delegated for us to do. Walk in supervision, encourage each other, empower each other, equip each other. It goes both ways. Listen, we have not just been called to hold down the fort and weather the storm. We've been called to walk in an abundant life that Jesus has for us. A quote from the book. He would not let them rest in success or in failure. No matter what they did, there was always more to do and to learn. He rejoiced in their successes, but nothing less than world conquest was his goal. And to that end, he always superintended their efforts. There was always more. There's always more. There's always room for one more here. Listen, just when you start getting comfortable, we're going to make you really uncomfortable. Just when you start really enjoying the 10:45 worship experience, guess what? We're going to add a third. Why? Because there may be room in here, but there's not room in the parking lot anymore. I'm being serious. It's coming soon to a White Oak campus near you. Why? Because there's more people that need to hear about Jesus. There's more people that need to experience the love, the peace, the joy, the protection of Jesus. There's more people that need to experience and encounter a living God. When we have somebody in our life that helps us mature in God, we receive the following. We receive correction. I left my towel down there and I'm crying. Can you hand it to me? Thank you. That's my beautiful assistant, Rachel. Also my wife. It was a quote, Kevin. You receive correction. You receive direction. You receive protection. And you receive inspection. When you start to move forward in this walk, things get real. And that's when people usually start to jump ship. Oh, you're okay with a little bit of direction. I like the protection part, but don't inspect things in my life. Stay away. That closet door's closed. The box is taped shut. Don't look there. Us Mon Valleyers love that. We like our stuff. Why? Because that's the way we were raised. Keep things behind a facade. How are you? I'm good. The greatest lie ever told. And then if we look at this stuff in correction, don't correct me. I'm out. But this is what helps us to mature, not get older, mature. This helps us grow in wisdom. Yes, Lord. That's all right, Joey. That was perfect. It came all by itself. We needed a worship break. This stuff is not caused to make us uncomfortable. It's caused to make us more like Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross a horrible, uncomfortable death so that we could be comfortable. Every single Sunday morning, there's people that are here way before so many of us. They meet upstairs on the third floor to pray and really process what Sunday morning's going to look like. And this, they give a report back on like what they were hearing and what they experienced in prayer. And Pastor Larry came to me this morning and shared, you know, like a 35-second snip of what they heard. And he said, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should always be on an incline getting closer to Jesus. And that's not just because we're in Pittsburgh and there's an incline And Jesus isn't just on Mount Washington. It was, we're always supposed to be on an upward trajectory towards Jesus. And not just some areas of our life, all of our areas of life. Not just the ones we pick and choose. We need correction. We need direction. We need protection. We need inspection. Following Jesus is not an a la carte menu. It's not a buffet where we get to pick and choose what we want. He wants to give us everything he has. And sometimes it really requires a real supervisor in our life. Now, we hear the word supervisor, and usually we instantly relate it to that bad supervisor we had at our first job or a horrible manager that we had at a job. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Jesus and people that Jesus has put in authority in his church. A supervisor that's going to keep up with you and have frequent times with you and frequent times of review of encouragement. Someone that's going to ask questions and help you process and maybe even work on your attitude and your character and encourage and empower and equip. Somebody that's going to affirm your strengths and your self-worth. Somebody that's going to help you become less authoritative, and somebody that's going to be not authoritative, but somebody that's going to always help the Word of God speak for itself in your life. Somebody that's not going to just be in a supervisory role, but is always going to point to the person that is in the supervisory role, which is Jesus Christ himself. Because he's the boss. He's the leader. He's the one we look to. He's the authority in all of our lives. I think we covered supervision pretty good. Think we're good? Think we're ready to move on to multiplication? Yeah? See, look, you guys really waned on the audience participation. Like, you were there strong. We good on multiplication? We ready to go there? All righty. Listen, I used to love math. I loved math as a kid until letters got involved. Multiplication was one of my favorite things. It still is. I love multiplication. It's great. But then when letters and shapes got involved in math, I checked out. Okay? Algebra, geometry, all those things. As a matter of fact, I really loved division too. Like, division was pretty cool until remainders got involved. Letters. You put that little R up there. Okay, we'll get back to that, but let's unpack what multiplication looks like. Let's go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. Let's read. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and what?
Multiply.
Look at that. Huh. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. Multiply. Not addition. Not subtraction, multiplication. It's part of his plan. Quote from the book. This was the way his church was to win. I like winning. Listen, I believe losing teaches you a lot, and you can learn a lot from that. But I really like winning. I prefer winning. And listen, his church will never lose. Losing is not in his vocabulary. We get to walk in victory. It's our decision on whether or not we want to be a part of the victory and walk in it fully. Through the dedicated lives of those who know the Savior so well that his spirit and method constrain them to tell others. As simple as it may seem, this was the way the gospel would conquer. He had no other plan. Listen, there's no other plan for Jesus to grow his church and to depopulate hell and grow heaven than you. There's no other plan. There's no plan number two. You're it. Take what you've seen, heard, and experienced and give it to somebody else. That's the plan. And you know what? Jesus prayed that you would multiply. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. He even prayed for those yet to come to know him. John 17, 20 through 23, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. He prayed for each and every one of us and for everybody that will believe because of what you share. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world believes you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. May the world know that you sent me just by the way that they walk and carry themselves. You know, I shared during the first worship experience, I'm going to share it now. I met a young lady. She just started coming a few months ago to the campus, and she just started. I said, are you in a group yet? She said, I'm in two. It's like, man, you're an overachiever. She's like, yeah. I was like, how did you start coming to the church? And she said, 2 years ago, I saw you all in the White Oak Memorial Day parade while I was sitting on a fire truck. I was in the parade and I was on the fire truck. And I remembered what I saw. I said, I've been going to a church, but there's like 15 of us that attend on a regular basis, and I needed more. And I remembered what I saw. The way you guys walked and carried yourselves. That's why I'm here. You may think that just walking in a parade doesn't change people's lives, but I got a family sitting right there that would say different. You may think that just gathering together and being the church outside of these walls doesn't change people's lives. I have a few families that would say different. You know, we're going to give an example on how multiplication was the plan from the beginning in the book of Acts. The book of Acts explains the early church, and they weren't even the early church yet, and they needed to multiply. They needed to multiply so they could become the early church. Let's go through these verses in the book of Acts. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 9:31, so the church throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria and White Oak and McKeesport, North Versailles, had peace. It was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. You see a pattern? Acts 12:24, but the word of God increased and it multiplied. Here we go, 16:25 of Acts. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and they increased in numbers daily. Acts 19:20, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Acts 28:31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Nothing held them back. The church took off. And here we are. And it still works today. Multiplication and reproduction can only happen when we get up close and personal. It happens in relationships. I'm so thankful for our creative team. I'm so thankful for the online worship experience that they produce week in and week out. It goes farther than we can even imagine. It gets sent to people. They get to see it. They get to experience it. But I'm so, so thankful when those people get to sit across the table from somebody and have coffee or sit in a group and get to experience That's where multiplication happens. Multiplication happens sitting at Luciano's having zucchini parmesan. I'm sorry. He wanted zucchini parmesan. And they said they didn't have it. And I walked in and he was very disheveled. And then he remembered that he wanted eggplant parmesan. And then he was full of joy. But that's where multiplication happens. We needed each other. We needed each other. So many of you are going to go to Luciano's this week. I need the eggplant parmesan. My pastor preached about it. Listen, multiplication and reproduction and taking what you've heard and seen and experienced and giving it away was the vision of the church at Bridge City Church for decades, and it always will be, and it always will continue to be. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and take what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Take what you've seen, heard, and experienced and give it away. And this isn't Jesus talking here. This is Paul talking to Timothy. This is him modeling what Jesus did for the disciples as a disciple, doing it for somebody else. It works. Listen, we receive, we respond, we report back, and then we reproduce our lives into others. We receive, we respond, we report back, and then we reproduce our lives into others. It works. And people's lives are at stake. We reproduce who we are, not what we say. Spend time with people. Things start to rub off. You constantly spending time with negative people, you're going to be negative. You spend time with joyful people, guess what? You're going to start being joyful. How do I know this? Because there's some times where I'm in my stuff and I don't want to be around joyful people because they drive me nuts. I'm human too. You all laugh because you know it's true. Because you spend time with people and you start to experience what they're walking in. It's like the parking lot test. There's people you turn away from the parking lot because you just don't want to be around them. Or that person you bump into in the grocery store and you're like, oh, I hope they didn't see me. I bumped into somebody at Target yesterday. Like, I'm so happy that he didn't do that to me. He walked up to me. Listen, I value the friendships that I have in this room, but I'm more committed to your discipleship than I am to your friendship. That's a hard thing for me to say because I want to be everybody's friend. That's a really hard statement for me to say, but I really want to see you grow as a follower of Jesus than for us to be better best friends. I can't be everybody's best friend anymore. But we got amazing connection group leaders that are the best leaders in the world. I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. You know, I'm honored and privileged to hold the position of pastor in so many of your lives. And when you say that term to me, I'm humbled, I'm privileged, I take it very, very seriously. But you pick and choose. Like, do you want the bro anointing or do you want the pastor anointing? Because if you just want the bro anointing, I'll be the best friend you got. I'll stick there. But once you say pastor, we're going to another level. We're going to a whole nother level. You pick and choose, though. Another quote from the book. What is needed is not better methods, but better men and women who know their Redeemer from personal experience and can pass that on to others. People can debate anything they want to debate. They can't debate a changed and transformed life. It goes back to a quote from a few weeks ago. You need to be in the room. What you experience, people can't debate that with you. It's a firsthand experience. Your testimony, that's yours. I can't have it. It's not mine. It's yours. The day you met Jesus and what he's done thereafter, that's yours. And that's what you're used to overcome with. That's what you use to fight. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Use it. Shout from the rooftops. This is where I was. This is what God did. And this is where he's taking me now. It works. You know, there's a guy, you might know him or may have heard of him. His name's Billy Graham. He had like a little outreach ministry. He spoke to, this is live and in person. This isn't on TV or the radio or online. Live and in person, he spoke to over 200 million people in 185 countries. And he was asked what you would do if you didn't have a large evangelistic ministry and you were just a local pastor at a church. This was his answer. I think one of the first things I would do is I would get a small group of 8 or 10 or 12 men around me that would meet a few hours a week, and they would pay the price. It would cost them something in time and in effort. I would share with them everything I have over a period of years. Then I would actually have 12 ministers among the laymen who in turn could take another 8 or 10 or 12 more and teach them. I know one or two churches that are doing this, and it is revolutionizing the church. Christ, I think, set this pattern. He spent most of his time with the 12. He didn't spend it with a great crowd. In fact, every time he had a great crowd, it seems to me that there wasn't too many results. The great results, it seems to me, came in the personal interview and the time he spent with the 12. Sounds like Billy Graham thought that connection groups worked. Winning the world is not done by something, but by someone. You're that someone. You're going to be that someone in someone's life. Imagine being the someone that shared the gospel with Billy Graham. They had no idea. But there is a someone that did that. I'm surprised they didn't write books. I'm the man that shared the gospel with Billy Graham. It is I. But seriously, someone needs you to share Jesus with them. Now listen, we have a huge outreach coming up this week, and I want you all to say you'll be a part of it without knowing what it is. You cool with that? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I lost count, but a few of you are. It's really important. It's a huge outreach. And I believe that it's the most important outreach that we may do this year. And it all involves you being outside of these walls. You're going to be a part of the Great Commission. You're going to go outside of these walls. And you might get uncomfortable. It might cause you to do something that you've never done before. You still on board?
Yep.
Okay. There's an invite on your seat for Crushed, the series that starts next week. When you feel like your world's falling in, when everything around you's falling apart, when everything around you feels like it's crushing you, that's what a lot of people, maybe even in here, feel like. That's what a lot of people in our families, in our friend groups, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods feel like. They feel like the world is crushing them. The world is crushing people right now. And I believe that we have the answer in Jesus. I believe that the peace that comes from knowing Him and knowing who you are in Him relieves the pressure that the world tries to place on each and every one of us. The pressure that men and women and students feel right now is, I can't even explain it. But there's a lot of weight being carried that you weren't called to carry by yourself, and those outside of here weren't called to carry by themselves. So this is what I want you to do. Everybody grab your invite if there's one next to you. I want you to take it. Remember I said we're having an outreach? Here we go. I want you to take it, and I want you to reach out and give it to somebody. Or, here we go. Here's another way to reach out. You ready? Here we go. I'm taking a picture of it in front of the big screen, and then I'm going to text it to somebody. Or there's a little QR code right here. If you don't know how to use a QR code, just hand this and your phone to somebody that's younger than you, and they'll show you how to do it. There you go. And it'll take you to the QR code, and then you can go straight to the location, and you can send them the address and the picture. One of the hardest outreaches we have, but one of the most impactful ones. We are a very outreach-oriented church. We have outreach every single day. You're it. We want you to multiply. We want you to get outside of these walls and walk it out. Another quote from the book: what really counts in the ultimate perpetuation of our work is the faithfulness with which our converts go out and make leaders out of their own converts, not simply more followers. It takes time to pour your life into other people's lives. We don't just want fans of Jesus, people that are going to, woo! We want people that are going to follow Him with their whole life and then ask others to follow. If you hear nothing else I say today, I want you to hear these last six words loud and clear. Now you're like, oh man, he's done talking. No, I have more words after these six, but these six are really important. God knows you. He sees you and he cares. And if you don't know how to invite somebody to the upcoming series, hey, listen, I see you're going through some things, and I just want you to know God knows you, he sees you, and he really cares. You should come to church with me. Simple, but really, really hard to do. You know why? Because we allow for our minds to get involved. Fear's real. You know, the worship team's going to start to come up. If you're being baptized today, you can make your way to get prepared. We're going to walk through the different stages of where we might be as a son or daughter of Jesus. And you got to place yourself in one of these different areas. And you can be in multiple areas at once, but you get to decide where you're at. Jesus doesn't push, which I love that, but he does lead. You know, Jesus loved everyone. I don't think there would be many people in this room that would debate that. He fed the multitudes. He trained the 70. He discipled the 12, and he had an inner circle of three. You get to pick where you're at. If you're somebody that is in that loved everyone, we're going to get there. We're going to get back to that one. But the fed the multitudes one, that's kind of like you attend pretty regularly, maybe 2 out of 4. You really like the fish and chips. You're a consumer. You like to just get fed. You eat. You may go to a connection group every once in a while. You may have thought about signing up. You may have even prayed about it, which is the Christian answer, no. You go into a connection group, I'm going to pray about it. But feeding the multitudes, if you're a part of the multitude, you're still in that consumer. I'm going to consume. The trained, the 72, you're then jumping in. You're definitely a part of a connection group. You're starting to be a part of a team. You're a contributor at this point. You're not just eating the fish and chips. You're making them. You're feeding others. You're going to Growth Track, which will be coming up. You're attending Growth Track 101, which is happening next Sunday. And we'll have fish and chips. Not fish and chips, food. If you've never been to Growth Track, that's where you discover your gifts and how you can use them to be an active and growing part of the church. Disciple the 12. Maybe you're an apprentice at a connection group, or you're a connection group leader. You're starting to multiply yourself into other people's lives. You're walking in obedience. You're not just a fan anymore. You're following. And you're helping others follow. the inner circle of three. You are pouring your life into other people's lives, and they are then doing it for others. But you may be it that loved everyone. You may need to know that you're loved. You may be here today and you may be like, what is he talking about? Fish and chips. Stick around. Jesus fed the multitudes with fish and loaves. Just having fun. You thought you were going to find out why they have fish fries. Is he finally going to tell us? Okay. You may need to know why you're loved and that you are loved, and you may get to hear today what John 3:16, and it's not just this verse. But today may be the day that you actually receive that verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You and for me, so that we would not perish, but we would have everlasting life. So that we would not live a life separated from him. So that we would not live a life that we were not designed to live. He gave his son on the cross so that we could live a life that is overflowing with victory and freedom and peace and joy. And how do we get that? It's real simple. Of our past, we receive the forgiveness that he offered to us on the cross, and we ask for him to be Lord over our life, leader into our future, forgiver of our past, and leader into the future. What does that mean? What happened yesterday doesn't define us. It's under the cross. He wants to lead you into your future and everything that he has for you. You may not have a day, a time, a place where you've received him as your Lord and Savior. I want today to be your day. And it's simple. Just reach out your hand to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need that. I need what he's been speaking of. God, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place. Don't let this moment pass. You're not promised tomorrow. Thank you for today. I thank you for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place and what you're going to continue to do. Lord, give us a great, great expectation for the plans you have for your church. Lord, we praise you. We bring all glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Pastor Nick.